What's up, everybody? Hey, I want to welcome you to Engaging Heaven today. I need to tell you that you were created for the supernatural. God has a plan for your life. In the next few moments, we're going to feed your spirit. We're going to cut through the fluff and get to the stuff. You're rocking with Engaging Heaven today. Woo! It's Friday edition! Engaging Heaven today. I'm James Levesque. Thank you for tuning in. It's been an amazing week. Look forward, and just heads up, tonight, I'm so excited. Pastor Alan Hawes from the River Tampa Bay Church is going to be with us in West Haven, Connecticut. 7 p.m., 870 First Ave in West Haven, Connecticut. Depending on when you're listening to this, you can still fly in, baby. Come on. We're going to jump right in. I'm going to call this one Coffee Table. Coffee Table. Coffee Table. When I met my wife, I flew to Vancouver, Surrey, British Columbia, and she had a coach house. It's not really a big thing where I live, but out there, housing's kind of limited, so they'd have a house. And like basically above the garage where, you know, we have like bonus rooms. They would have like an apartment. They'd call it a coach house. And so you lived basically above the garage in a full sprawling apartment. And she had a coach house. And I remember going to see her. And I remember I remember staying there, right? She wasn't there. She gave her house up to people that came in town and she served me. It was beautiful. It served us. And then I remember, you know, after we were dating and, you know, got engaged, I remember one time I went to her house. It was just me and her, and it was lunchtime, and we were running in and out, and she was making me, I think she made dinner or lunch or something, which clearly we were dating. Lord knows she ain't cooking now, you know what I mean? And I'm picky, so whatever. But I think she made some, like, baked chicken tenders and whatever. It was like asparagus or mac and cheese or something. And, you know, I mean, gosh. So we sit, there wasn't really a table in the coach house. It was a nice kitchen. And let me tell you, the whole house was beautiful. It was all white, leather couches. Everything was nice and neat and like pristine. And so she makes the meal. And, you know, we're sitting at the couch now and we're eating our lunch. And so plates, napkins, you know, forks. And there was nothing. I mean, everything was immaculate. She already had the kitchen all clean by the time we were eating. So we're sitting down to eat. And I remember as we're eating, we're done, right? And I just kind of, there may be some crumbs left on my plate. I put my fork and knife on the plate, pushed it to the middle of the coffee table, sat back, we're talking. And she kind of stood up at some moment and like her dishes. So on the coffee table are two plates, a fork and knife, and like two cups. And she's like, oh, I got to clean up this mess. It's really getting to me. You know, the house is so dirty. I'm like, what? This house smells like Mr. Clean. And there's two plates, a fork and a knife and a cup. So eight items are sitting on your coffee table. And she's like going on and on about how messy her house is. And then I was just like, girl, are you okay? I'm like, you do realize it's your house. Like I'm pretty sure if I had bad breath, you would see like the dust. It was so clean. Do you know what I mean? Like if I breathed, I'm like, your house is spotless. I'm like, your house ain't dirty. I've been in dirty homes. This is one of the most cleanest homes I've ever seen. And the only thing in your house that is dirty is the two plates we just ate on. And I said, look, in life, after we got to know each other, the lesson was in life, you're going to have a lot of good going on. Don't let the coffee table ruin it. So for the first few years of our marriage, all I had to say to her was coffee table. And she knew what I meant. Coffee table. She knew it. Don't let the most beautiful house in the world have just two dirty dishes, and that's what you're focused on. Isn't that everything in life? right? I heard T.D. Jakes say one time that marriage at best, if you got the best marriage in the world, at best, it might be 80% of what you've always wanted in someone. You know, when you get divorced is when you focus on that 20% and that overtakes you. That's all it is. People come in my office, they argue over the 20%. I'm like, did you forget about the 80? You want a strong marriage? Focus on the 80. If you're constantly looking at the 20 that you don't like about your partner or what you, their habits or what, they, then you're never going to have a happy marriage. Coffee table. And continuing on our theme, look, we can't allow in the midst of amazing circumstances one wrong thing to take us off our dreams and our goals. We can't let the one coffee table do it to us. And after the break, I'm going to give you two stories fast of examples how kings and people of authority had everything good for them. And the minute they looked at the one, they got devoured. You're rocking with Engaging Heaven today.
Rebecca here. We want to thank you for tuning into the Engaging Heaven Today podcast. As always, please subscribe to our daily devotionals. And when you get a moment, leave feedback and let others know how you're being blessed. You can find more information at www.engagingheaven.com.
What's up, everybody? We're back. There's two stories. We're going to start with Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar built the statue, and that dude was like, I want everyone to bow down and worship me. Everybody did, except three people. The Bible says Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't bow down. Side note, King Nebuchadnezzar could have been like, who cares? There's millions of people bowing down. Why am I worried about three? If you line up millions of people bowing down and three don't, are you really going to care? Oh, you betcha. Those three people got his attention. He threw them in the fire, which, side note, I mean, you want a formula for success? Three people plus one fire equals the fourth man. You sometimes you're only gonna get what God has for you when you go through the fire. They get thrown in the fire. Jesus shows up. Basically, that was the end of Nebuchadnezzar. Millions are bowing down. The king can't get over three. He forgot all the millions because of the three. And he basically lost everything, right? If he only was happy with the millions. That sounds like life, right? I know we're talking about corrupt kings, but the principle's still there. When things are going well, don't focus on the only three things that are wrong. This is on a way bigger level. What about self-esteem issues for girls or guys? It's like all you can do is you focus on the two things you hate about yourself instead of all the other things that God has blessed you with. It's perspective. We can't focus on the three when there's millions listening. There's a story in Esther. Just follow me. It's a long, crazy, drawn-out story. There's a guy named Haman, right? So Haman was kind of an evil man. And what he wanted to do is he said, look, when I pass by, I want everybody to bow down and worship me, right? So he does. He passes by. Everybody bows down and worships him except one Jew, one guy. That's it. And his name was Mordecai. That guy, Haman, saw one dude not listening, and he was nuts about it. Forget that he forgot the millions that were listening, and his whole goal now wasn't just to kill Mordecai, but it was to wipe out the entire Hebrew race. He was done. He was angry, Haman. So Haman gets an idea. Look, it was only one Jew in all of Babylon that didn't bow down, and Haman wanted to kill him and all the other Jews. So Haman goes to the king and he's like, look, if you wanted to show honor to, he's basically trying to build a case to kill Mordecai. He goes to the king, if you want to show honor to somebody, what would you do? He tells the king. And the king's like, oh man, you know what I would do? I would bring out the white horses. And Haman's like, yeah, you're talking about me. The king was like, I would build these regal robes and these banners. And the king's like, and Haman's like, yeah, yep, you're talking about me. And the king goes on and on about honor, right? And Haman's thinking, Mordecai didn't honor me, I'm going to kill him, right? That's the whole goal here. He comes to the king. The king says to Haman, here's what I would do to honor someone. Haman's like, yep. And the king goes, actually, I want you to be a part of something like this. And Haman's like, oh, you shouldn't have. Really? And the king goes, yeah, there's a man I really want to honor. Haman's like, the king goes, yeah, I want to honor a guy called Mordecai. And Haman, I want you to build the white, get the white horse and build the banners and do all the things for this guy called Mordecai. It backfired. Haman went to the king because he wanted to kill Mordecai. The king's like, go honor him now and build his stuff. Well, he was sitting with Esther one day complaining, and guess what he ended up doing? He ended up hanging himself on his own robes and banners that he built for Mordecai. Let's rewind the story. He wanted everybody to bow down and worship him. Everybody did, except one person. He focuses on the one, and it ends up killing him. The one thing devoured him. And to this day, in Israel, there's a thing called the Feast of Purim. And you know what they do? They celebrate how God delivered them from their race being extinct through Mordecai. Legit, to this day, they have a big celebration at what didn't happen. Haman was going to kill us all. God delivered. Haman hung himself. Thank you for Mordecai. We're going to celebrate forever the fact that a whole race was prevented. Not only am I telling you don't look at the one thing that's bad in your life, you might need to start thanking God for what he spared you from. You might need to start thanking God for where you could have been if he didn't intervene. Because many of you would be dead. Many of you would be lost. Many of you would be hurting. So sometimes we need to thank God for what he's done, but sometimes we need to thank him for his keeping power. And those of you listening, you've probably been through abuse. You've probably been hurt. You've probably been offended. You've probably been molested. You probably had things happen to you that are horrific. And let me tell you something. You have a reason to be thankful today. You're alive. You're breathing. God is good. He is for you. And today, you need to think about this whole weekend. I want you to focus on the good of what's happened to you. I want you to keep your eyes on heaven and think about his goodness. This is the part of the story where Pastor Sarah Nichols should come in and sing, when I think about the Lord, how he raised me, how he made me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, listen, it makes me want to shout. You've got to be grateful. Be thankful. Focus on heaven. There's so much to give thanks for. Don't be like Haman. Don't be like Nebuchadnezzar. Be like my wife, but don't be like my wife that day at the coffee table. We love you. There it is. It's a wrap. It's the weekend. I'm out.
On behalf of Pastor James Levesque, we want to thank you for tuning in to the Engaging Heaven Today podcast. If you're ever in the Connecticut area, join us at Engaging Heaven Church. We're the one church with two locations, New London and West Haven. For more details, go to our website at www.engagingheaven.com.